Not sure.
That's an interesting one.
We can do two sides of the story. So.
Okay.
I thought it was recording it in stereo.
Okay, we began seeing last week. Just pick up from where we left off. We'll get back into the thought process that we were in the middle of last week. The king of Khuzar raised the question, how can it be that God would associate with physical beings? This was a big philosophical problem. And basically, the Chover, the Jewish sage, answered, well, how else can you explain all the wondrous workings of the world? So the king of Khuzar said, well, there's the force of nature. The forces of nature do their thing. This is basically what we're up to. I'm just recapping. The forces of nature do their thing. All of the immense complexity of the world is being run by the forces of nature. So the Jewish sage asked, the Chava asked, and what is the force of nature? So he said, well, I can't pinpoint it exactly, but it's a very fundamental concept in science and in the schools, and I'm sure that in the higher levels of learning they have it exactly defined. So the Chaver answered him. He said, I'll tell you what their definition is. They said, well, put it simply, after all the convoluted terms we used last week, which we did bedafka, as we'll see again soon, all of the automatic processes of the world that are inevitable and are a part of how the world runs on a regular basis are ascribed to nature, while things that are circumstantial, things that were haphazard, or things that came because of a person's decision are outside the realm of nature. That defines nature. So the Khuzari said, and so the Chaver said, is note that there's no definition there. You have located nature, but you haven't defined it. Right? You said. And he said that at the end of the day, there's a lot of convoluted talk, which makes it sound like a very sophisticated subject with a lot to it, the definition of nature. But all of that convoluted talk is a little of the talk that we used last week, and exactly managing to define the line between what is ascribed to nature and what's not ascribed to nature. And there we said, those things that are really an inherent part of what the thing itself is, and it's not just the result of a happening that didn't have to happen. That's what we ascribe to nature. So in other words, what the Chaver and the king are both realizing together is that they have couched the term nature in a lot of convoluted talk, in a lot of sophisticated definitions, but at the end of the day, there is no definition there. At the end of the day, what they're saying is, yes, anything that happens automatically, anything that's a regular process of the world, is run by nature. What is nature? The thing that runs it all. That's basically where they stood. So yeah, anything that's automatic, anything that's regular is run by nature. What is nature? Nature is what makes it run. So there we go. It begins and ends with that. What's that? Well, the Chaver said that Lamaisa, that is the philosophical definition of nature. Meaning he was apparently quoting the bottom line of what of the philosophical teachings of the time, saying that yes, all it is was pinpointing it.
Until now, neither him or the Melech use circular reasoning. It sounds a bit silly, like now, because he's quoting what the philosophers are.
Yes, because again, he is the king of Khuzar. If you can't fathom that Hashem would connect to physical beings, how do you explain the complexity of the world? His answer was, well, we were taught that it's the force of nature. He said, and what is the force of nature? King of Khuzar said, well, that's something that the philosophers have developed. He says, well, I'll tell you what they developed. They developed that it's this. Now, what's that? There isn't really a definition. So Amar HaKuzari, so we'll begin again from Ois Ayin Dali. So the king of Kuzar says, Ki ilu hu oimer. So basically what you're telling me is that this is the definition of nature. Ki adoba sheyanua me'atzmoy v'yanuach me'atzmoy. That anything that either naturally moves or doesn't move, say a plant growing or a rock's staticness, yeshlei siba, is caused by a force, by yanuach v'yanuach, and it's that force that makes it run. V'siba hazeh hi ateva, and that force is nature. So what is nature? Anything that runs by itself is run by nature, and nature is what makes it run. And that's all. But what is that nature? So Amar Chaver, Shlachaver says, that's right. Zeu sherotzo loimar. That's all that they're saying. That's the extent of the definition of nature. In daikus rav v'diktuk v'hefrish. Just the reason it seems to be such a complicated subject is because there's a lot of convolution and complexity in pinpointing exactly and drawing the distinctions between what is run by nature, what's not run by nature, where do we draw the difference between a haphazard occurrence and nature, between the things that are just the result of haphazard. Like, for example, here's where we can get all philosophical about it. Rain. Do we ascribe that to nature? Or is it a freak occurrence? Because on the one hand, there's a very clearly defined way of how it happens. But on the other hand, it isn't something that regularly happens all the time. So there could be whole pilpulim about that. So you hear pilpulim on the subject of nature. But none of it is about, at the end of the day, when you actually analyze it, there is no definition of nature. It's all just about what do we class as nature, what don't we class as nature. And hearing all these things is very impressive. But at the end of the day, this is the sum total of what they know about how nature works. They know that it's the cause of everything that happens by itself, that it's the cause of the regular functioning of the world, and it begins and ends with that. They don't know, but what is that cause? So, Omar HaKuzari. So the Kuzari king says, Im kein ani roye shehisunu b'shem oisei. If so, I see that we were misled by these words. V'samunu mishatfim im haboyre. Actually, all they've done was contrive of a term that could constitute a parallel force to Hashem. Meaning that there's another force besides Hashem that helps run the world, and that's called nature. Really? When you analyze it though, that word is completely empty of meaning. It's just saying, well, these things run for a reason. What that reason is, we don't know, but we're going to call it nature. So nature is the inexplicable force that makes things work. Be'omreinu ha-teva, because we've gotten used to the concept of nature, chacham poel, nature working, nature at work, right? The workings of nature, the products of nature. Nature is this wise entity that designs, that produces, that plans. The Efsha Shenovai Loima Boire Al Tam Divrayan. And the truth is, we should really simply replace the word with creator. It's the workings of Hashem. It's the designs of Hashem. It's the doings of Hashem. That's the way Rabbi Miller put it. Nature, the word nature is a meaningless word invented by the Greeks. That's exactly what he's telling us here. It was a word invented by the philosophers as a reference to what it is that makes things work. So we are simply going to replace that word with the word Hashem. It's Hashem at work. It's Hashem's workings. It's a product of Hashem. Like we said last week, I think it was already after this year, that the Mikubalim point out, Hateva is Begematria Elohim. It's the same Gematria. So Omar Chaver, so the Chaver now says, Kein Hu, exactly, that's my point. So in other words, how do we get to all this? He said, how could it be that God relates to a physical world? The answer is, then how does the physical world run? He said, well, nature. Now that we eliminated the concept of nature, we have no choice but to connect between God and the physical world, because there's nothing else that's making it run. And if so, we have proven that yes, God inevitably relates to a physical world. Now, we don't need the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu to prove that. We have an ant, like the Kuzari said last week. The ant exists. It's complicated. There you have your proof. It had to be designed. There was nobody designing it other than Hashem. There's your proof that Hashem relates not just to people, but to ants as well. So now the Chavar says, we're not going to rob what we call the forces of nature of all their potency. Aval yesh la yisoides, certainly there are properties that different forces of nature possess. The different elements, v'la shemesh, v'la reach, v'la kechavim, the sun, the moon, the stars, pe'olim, they certainly do have properties and powers, but aderech hachimum v'akiru, for example, this is a concept that we should, okay, we'll address it now. We talk about powers of nature. And the truth is, there are powers of nature. But, what are their powers? They have very specific properties. For example, they can heat. The sun has a power to heat. Vakiru. Let's say certain atmospheric elements have the power to cool things. There are some forces of nature that have the power to make things wet. There are other forces of nature that have the power to dry things. However, this does not grant them wisdom. It only grants them properties. Meaning, for example, yes, there are forces of nature. But, here, you know, in order to illustrate what he's saying, I'll take a step back. Everybody's heard of the concept called mazolus, right? Mazel. Certain stars were ascribed to different powers, and this was really the root of Avodah Zarah. We're going to get to that soon, right? Stars were ascribed certain powers. So he's saying, yes, they have powers, but there's a big difference between the idolater's understanding of those powers, which is, for example, let's talk about the sun. An idolater will tell you, the sun possesses the key to life. The sun is giving off energy all the time because it's the god of life, it's the god of energy, it's the god of life, of light. The sun is consciously lighting up the earth. Now we say, of course the sun has the power to provide light, just like a fluorescent bulb has the power to provide light. But that doesn't give it any independent power at all. It has a property that it does automatically without any decision. He says, yes, nature is full of such forces. Such forces we will grant to nature. Nature is full of forces that have powers that act automatically. But there's no decision there. It's not like the sun decides, oh, now I'm going to make that plant grow. I am going to shower down on that plant energy, which is going to cause it to grow. No, the sun is a mindless thing. It's got no mind. It gives off energy automatically. That's what makes things grow. But in all of those different powers, of all of their different properties, there's nothing there that can design anything. So the truth is that it's even more than that. If we take a step backwards, this is true for all the forces of nature. Wind can move clouds, but it's certainly not making any plans to get one cloud from one place to another. The sun can provide energy, but it's not picking and choosing to give more energy to its favorites. Now, also like that with the mazolus. There are stars, mazolus, constellations, that also have certain powers. There are mazolus that provide parnassa, let's say. I'm just using an example. And therefore, the idolaters of ancient times worshipped that star if they wanted to get good parnassa. Now, what? We'll see. We'll see. He's leading up to that. He's leading up to that part of the discussion. Now, but, and they understood it that, if this star provides Parnassa, Parnassa must be something planned. They didn't understand that it goes more than just heat and dryness and cold and wet. Like, just like water can make something wet, but it's not a decision of the water. It's just a tool through which Hashem makes things wet. There are stars that, yes, when they pass over a person, they have now poured parnasa onto it. Poured a mazel of parnasa onto it. But yet, this is not a conscious decision of those stars. These are things that they are programmed to do. It gets more tricky when you're dealing with things like parnasa, things that are not just the sun giving off heat, but things that actually will change your life, things that change your fortune. But really, it's all the same things. These are properties that Hashem built in to different forces of nature, which includes also forces of spiritual nature. But these are all tools. Just like we say, when Hashem wants a person to get wet, what does He do? He makes water splash on him. Was the water a conscious party of what was going on? No. When Hashem wants a person to get parnasa, He makes this mazel wash over the person. Was the mazel a part of it? No. The mazel has a property that does what it does. Okay. There is a little more to this. There is a little more to this. And the way the Ramban puts it is that yes, you have, let's say, a constellation of Parnassus. Now, over that constellation, there's a star, a ministering angel, who's actually responsible for that constellation. Now, he is a conscious being, but yet he's programmed. But he is working to make his thing do its thing in the best way possible. But yet, he has no other choice. That's all he can do. Now, there might even be intellect in doing that, but at the end of the day, it's programmed. It's very, very far from us who can decide when we want to break, when we don't want to break, when we're in the mood, when we're not in the mood. It's programmed. Hashem has beings that are programmed, and they have programmed interests. He has an interest that's programmed as well. And this was the big mistake that the idolaters made. They understood better than us the inner workings of the world. And they understood that yes, there's that star that when it washes over you, when it's not just that you're standing under it in the sky, but when its effect washes over you, you are now touched by Parnassa. And they know that that star is being activated by some sar. Okay? And therefore they figure, if I can get in that sar's good graces, I have connections. Now, to an extent they were right that there is a sar who has an interest in channeling Parnassa through his star. But that interest was still programmed. And therefore, yes, all of nature ultimately is longing to be used as in the service of Hashem. That's a longing that's inherent in the koiches, in the sarim, that are behind anything in nature. Now, what exactly it means that they were debating, and how would one rock beat another rock? I don't know. But what the concept means is that yes, it says that not only do these constellations of Parnassa have a sar, but each grass has a malach that stands over it, right? You know, the makel va'imer lo yigdal tells it to grow. Meaning, a malach is appointed to each blade of grass, and he's told, you make the success of this blade of grass your interest. And the malach is putting his everything into making that blade of grass grow successfully. Each stone had that too. And therefore, each stone would reach its meaning, would reach its fulfillment by being used directly in the service of Hashem. But at the end of the day, the Kuzari is telling us, but make no mistake about it. These are not things that can design anything. They can't plan anything. None of these forces can come and put together a whole picture. The sun and the winds cannot collaborate to make the sun and wind work in cooperation. The sun evaporates water, they rise into clouds, and then the wind comes and pushes the clouds over to the right place, then the atmosphere does its thing, causes them to, condense, and then it rains. So are the sun and clouds working in a planned way together? No. The sun has its one property that it's focused on in a mindless way. Or even if we'll say in a mindful way. it's very busy evaporating water, and that's all. It doesn't care about the wind, it doesn't know about the wind, and it can't plan with the wind. It can't collaborate. The wind knows it's one thing. There's a cloud, I'm going to push it. Okay? It can't collaborate with the sun. The wonder of this system working together has to be designed. And that's only Hashem. So therefore he's saying yes. When you're talking about the most coarse examples of water having the property of making things wet, to the finer example of the sun, which exudes energy, to the even finer example of a mazel that can provide parnasa, to the even finer example of the sar of that mazel, which has an interest in channeling parnasa through his star. All these things at the end of the day are programmed forces with specific properties that can only do what they're programmed to do, and bringing it all together, the design that's involved, the collaboration of the forces of nature, are done by no one other than Hashem. In other words, all these things are just tools. Just like Hashem makes you wet by splashing water on you, Hashem gives you parnasa by setting that star on you. Just tools. So therefore, we do not ascribe to them any wisdom, any design. We ascribe to them only functions. They have functions that they do. Just like we won't say that if a brick lands on somebody's head, that the brick planned to split the skull neatly. No. Bricks smash skulls. But there's no design. But to Atzir Vashir Vazra, forming it and giving it the right proportions, right? Also, in order for the rain to work right, for the whole system to come together right, you have to have the sun putting in the right, being involved to the proper extent, and the winds being involved to the proper extent. If the sun overworks, it'll create too much clouds for the winds to be able to move. And if the winds are a little too weak, or if they're a little too strong, right? So it all has to be done to the right extent. That all requires planning. That's all done by Hashem. And therefore, anything that we see has purposeful design. Any purpose that we see achieved by a collaboration of forces of nature, which is what basically everything is. The world is a mind-boggling picture of collaboration. That can only be ascribed to the Chacham, who is capable and who is busy designing. There's always designing going on. Every rainfall is a whole planned program. Not just every rainfall, but every plant growing is a whole planned program. That is done only by Hashem. Now, if you want to call these different properties forces of nature, that's fine. If you say that water is a force of nature that makes things wet, and you want to say that the sun is a force of nature that makes things light, that's fine. As long as you do not ascribe to them intent or purpose in doing it. Yes, they have those properties. You can call those, in that sense that they have properties, you can call them forces of nature. No one is going to deny the fact that yes, water is a medium that makes people wet. Hashem doesn't make people wet directly. He makes them wet through water. So if you want to say that water has the property of making people wet, it's a force of nature that makes people wet, that's fine. As long as you don't say, well, the water was planning exactly how drenched the person should be. And the water was planning exactly that this coat should now be saturated. Kasher yachik me'o ish ve'o isha, yitzira savlad b'yischap. In the same way that when a man and a woman get together and form a child, no one will come and tell the man and woman, wow, good job, that's a good looking child, you did it right. No. What do? They do very specific functions, and then Hashem does an awful lot of designing and carrying out. So, yes, there are all these different properties. Yes, men and women have the property to produce children. But are they designing the child? Not at all. Right? You ever have a mother and father say, okay, that one came out ugly. Next one, we'll have to do better on. And they'll work it out better next time? No such thing. They are given certain properties, certain functions that they can do, and those properties will produce children, but yet there's still an awful lot of planning involved. That's how it is with every phenomenon of nature, and that can only be ascribed to Hashem. All they can do is be in the right place at the right time in order to enable things to happen. Meaning, they have the power to activate the process. But who actually performs the process? But the form of the child is actually designed by the master artist, by Hashem. So therefore, in other words, what he's saying is as follows. I prefaced this in the Drosha on Lo Shabbos. The world is full of God's workings. Hashem is busy doing all kinds of things all around the world. Yet, there are different things that can come and do something which Hashem will respond to. Right? For example, man and woman get together. What do? They put in a lot of effort. They say, okay, now, within the next 10 seconds, we have to focus very hard. Because kidneys, lungs, heart, or just all the details of the DNA. Forget about the kidneys and lungs and heart. It's going to develop later. But listen, in 10 seconds, you have to write up a whole, how many millions of letters of DNA is it? So the woman and man are working very, very fast to write out a whole notebook of DNA. No. Yes, they're given the power to activate the process, and then Hashem carries out the process. Now, it's the same thing with many things that we do. Many things that we do, many things that we say are forces of nature at work, or us at work, are actually just that. You do a tiny little movement, and Hashem gets to work. For example, you plant a seed in the ground. You're a farmer. You grow a crop. What do? You worked hard throughout the winter. What percentage of that crop should actually be ascribed to you? Did you cause the seed to disintegrate and give off whatever it is that causes it to sprout? All you did is you put the seed in the right place, in the right time, and then Hashem got to work, right? Or nourishing your body. Do you nourish your body? What do? You take a piece of bread, you chew it, and swallow it. And now, you strengthen your bones, your eyes, your kidneys. What do? You just put it in position, and now Hashem gets to work. So really, what's going on is, the world is full of Hashem's workings. Hashem is busy all the time. Just, Hashem gives us certain small jobs to do. Right? You drop in the coin, and Hashem gets to work. And Hashem starts carrying it all out. So really we have a new definition of nature. Nature is Hashem at work. And we have to note this because we've gotten used to the concept of Derech HaTeva as opposed to Nitz. People make the mistake of thinking that Derech HaTeva is some sort of Shabbos clock. Meaning, Hashem set the world up to run automatically in a certain way. Here and there he intervenes with the Nitz. The Kuzari is telling us that that's not what Derech HaTeva is. Derech HaTeva is Hashem at work. The only difference between Derech HaTeva and a Nes is, Derech HaTeva is what Hashem does on a regular basis. A Nes is when Hashem deviates from his normal schedule and makes a change. I think we've said...
By creating Malachim, Masarim, and delegating to them, Hashem says, Hashem, I have removed himself a little bit in the normal running of things?
Not really. Because he's really working through them. Meaning, really, at the end of the day, it is Hashem working through them. Hashem is doing these things through them. That's also the idea that they have no Bechira. They have no Bechira simply because It's mamish like we said about water.
Doesn't it make it like with bark?
What's that? Well, take the example of water. Water makes things wet. But is that an automatic process? Or when you get splashed, what is it that made you get splashed? Or we'll ask even more than that, if you want to take it to the next level. What is water? Water is a bunch of atoms. This is Rabbi Victor Miller pointed out. Everything Lamaisa runs on energy. What are atoms? Things revolving around the nucleus. It's all movement. It's all motion. Who's making all that happen all the time? It's all Hashem. Just he does it through. When he wants to make you wet, he takes this creation called water and does it via the water. But Hashem is actually the one who's, he's the neshama of the water. He's what's making the water exist. He's what's making the water run. A rock also has to run. An inanimate object, right? An inanimate object also has to run because it's also made up of atoms that depend on constant motion and energy. Who's turning around all the things in there? It's all Hashem. It's not an automatic process. So meaning, if we'll call it an automatic process, we'll call it an automatic process in the sense that Hashem said, you know what? The way the world is going to work is that I'll only make things wet with water. I won't use anything else to make things wet. In that sense, it's Teva. But at the end of the day, it's Hashem who's causing the water to be wet and to make things wet. So therefore, it's not a Shabbos clock. It's only automatic in the sense that it always runs this way, that it's constant. But it's not automatic, it's not self-running. Hashem didn't push a button and now it runs by itself unless Hashem makes a change. It's like, you have a regular schedule. You eat breakfast at a regular time and then you go to the office. It's not automatic. It's regulated, right? But it's not automatic. You're just as consciously involved in that as when you do something else. So that's the difference between Derech HaTeva and this. Derech HaTeva, in the Chazon Ish's words, is HaRotzein HaYoser Matzmid Shalom. Hashem's more constant will. Nes is a more unusual will, but there's no difference in the extent of involvement. Now, he takes this discussion to the next step. So actually what he's telling us is that Hashem is always waiting, so to speak, in limbo. There's all kinds of workings in the world that once you drop the coin in, Hashem gets to work. You can activate Hashem, so to speak, by just doing the right thing at the right time. That's what childbearing is about. That's what planting a seed is about. That's what eating is about. And that's what countless other things are about. That's what moving an arm is about also. You don't move your arms, right? We all know that. You don't move your arms. What do? You send the message. And then it moves by itself. Just a split second later, it feels like you moved it. But actually, there's a nervous system. All you can do is, like the Chazal Halacha says, you make the decision. When the decision is made seriously enough, a message is sent through the nervous system and your hand shoots up. So even that, all you do is make the decision, you contribute the decision, and you see Hashem at work. So now, if so, what we're saying is that yes, when you see a plant growing, what you're actually seeing is godliness. You're seeing Hashem at work. When you see a rock, you're seeing Hashem at work. He says, "Val yerachek meinecha, heira ois rishmei nyanim meloikim nichbadim ba'olam hazeh atachto." Now don't think it's strange that you actually see the divine manifesting through physical things in this lowly world. In other words, what he's saying is, when things are set up right, you will see divinity at work. When you see a plant growing, you are seeing divinity at work. Now that sounds strange, that I come and I plant a seed, and all of a sudden, I see all kinds of godly occurrences. He says, no, that's what this world is all about. And now he moves the discussion on to the next stage. This really is what's at the root of all avodas Hashem, of all emuna, and this is what's at the root of all sin. This understanding that really, There's all kinds of workings in the world, and it's just an issue of tapping into it in order to get things going, right? Like with the seed. The soil is very busy. You just drop in the right seed and all kinds of things will happen. That understanding that you can cause all kinds of things to happen by doing the right thing at the right time is the root of all our service of Hashem, and it's the root of all sin. Amar Kuzari. Kuzari is intrigued. What do you mean by that? The Eich Yeh Sheresh HaEmunah Hu Sheresh HaMeri. What do you mean by saying that the root of service of Hashem is the very root of sin? Omar HaChover Ke. So the Chover says, yes, that's how it is. Because even though we've been talking in a material sense up till now, that yes, you know the workings of the world. You know that if you drop a seed into the soil at the right time, that the result will be an apple tree with blossom forth. Now there are also such spiritual things. And here's what we started talking about the other time. Let's say, if you align yourself with a certain mazel in a certain way, the result will be great parnasa. It's really the same thing. These are forces of nature, meaning laws that Hashem set for Himself in the Bria that you can manipulate. That's what our Koyach HaBechir is. It's a mind-boggling thing. Hashem, so to speak, is at your disposal. Right? You can manipulate what Hashem does when you understand the way He works. And that's what you're doing when you're having children. That's what you're doing when you're planting seeds. That's also what you're doing with Avodah Zarah, with sorcery, let's say. It's really the same thing, just on another level. You know that if you do this thing in this way at this time, the result will be XYZ. Just, the only difference between that and planting a seed is that the apple tree is an effect that Hashem allowed you to do. And the sorcery is an effect that Hashem didn't allow you to do. Now, it's like this with mitzvahs too. Mitzvah is the same thing. Hashem says, if you do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, that will have very great effects in worlds that are higher than our world. Just like planting the seed in the right place at the right time, according to all the halachas of planting a seed, produce an apple tree, eating matzah at a very specific time of the year, right? On the night of Lel Pesach, also causes a whole chain of effects that have very, very, very great products. So if so, we're seeing that the natural workings of the world, mitzvahs and averus, are all really based on the same root. The laws of nature. Laws of nature. Just that there are physical laws of nature, and there are spiritual laws of nature. And within the spiritual laws of nature, there's the permitted, and there's the prohibited. So, when you want to know, often human beings, especially in earlier times, when they were more aware of the workings of the world, they knew how to utilize these things. And the question is, how do you know what's a right way to utilize the workings of the world, and what's the wrong way to utilize the workings of the world? So, kiadvarim asher yikainu lekabel horshayim ha'em ha'elokim. Yes, when we're talking about things that can actually have godly results, einam bicholes ha'adam, they are not within man's capacity. V'lo yuchlo l'sha'er kamusam ve'yichusam. A man cannot determine how and exactly in what way they should be done in order to have the right effects. So the truth is, we have to introduce another category now. It's not exactly that there are the physical realm and there's the spiritual realm. But there's the physical realm. There's the spiritual realm, meaning to have the real godly effects in the ultimate place. And then there are the spiritual laws of nature that manifest in this world. This is what we'll talk about, sorcery, for example. Sorcery are spiritual laws of nature which are real, and if you know how to utilize them, you can cause them to make all kinds of effects in this world too. And then there's a whole different plane of spiritual laws of nature, which are operating in a much higher place. And that's what the mitzvahs are. Now ultimately our purpose is to be building and to be producing in that higher place. In order to figure out how to do that right, there's no way you can figure that out. The only thing you can do is follow Hashem's exact instructions. Whereas with the seed, you experiment a little bit and then you get it right. Right? You can figure out for yourself a Shulchan Aruch, a manual, a Shulchan Aruch of what seed is kosher for planting and what seed is pasul for planting. Right? And what time you do plant and what time you don't plant. You can work out the halachas by yourself by experimenting. When you're talking about operating in the ultimate world, you can't experiment because you don't see. All you can do is take Hashem's instructions. And this is really what the mitzvahs are all about. The mitzvahs are about having those effects in the upper world.
Sorcery, you also don't see. So how is it that they were able to figure those out?
Sorcery were things that they were able to see. These were things that manifested in this world. Initially, you couldn't see. But through experimentation, people had ideas of the inner workings of the world on the sorcery level, which they had a better idea of in earlier times than in our times. Today we completely lost contact with that. But in earlier times, they did know. They did know that there were certain times that had certain effects, and that there were certain celestial...
Or do they know it by experiments, by scientific experimentation?
Both. They developed things through experimentation, and there was also certain Messiah in these things. Messiah, some of it came from bad places, some of it. You know that one of the things that Avraham Avinu bequeathed to his other children is the shamus of the Kreches HaTumah. I don't know what the pshat is. Why did he do that? But that was something that he revealed to them. The Kreches HaTumah. How to activate the Kreches HaTumah. So there's a whole realm of Kreches HaTumah which work in this world, just on a metaphysical level. But their effects are material, right? Sorcery has material effects. And this, yes, they developed the whole science out of it. But they didn't realize what they were actually doing was causing very great ruination in the higher sphere. The sphere that you can't sense in this world. So, therefore, a person cannot figure out, really, what we're here in this world is to have all those effects, to be creating all kinds of effects in the real world. Where we're building a world of spirituality. And this is also simply an issue of laws of nature. Just, you can never figure out those laws of nature. Even if you do know that something is a good thing to do, meaning, there are many mitzvahs that we can figure out are right, but yet every mitzvah involves chukim. Why? You all know the right times. Like, let's say a person can figure out Shabbos. It's not such a complicated concept. A person might figure out by himself that the right thing to do is take a day off to show that we are guests in this world. We don't really own this world. But how are you going to figure out which day is the right day? Even though it's a mishpat, it's something that logic can dictate. How are you going to figure out which day is the right day? And how are you going to figure out exactly how you show Hashem's ownership of the world? What are the permitted malachas and what are the asr malachas? Because even the mitzvahs that we do understand, we don't really understand. We understand the very superficial level of it. We understand what's right about not killing. We understand that killing is pretty not nice. But we don't understand the full extent of the destruction that's caused by killing. And therefore, we can't understand the full extent of the mitzvah. Right? So, let's say, that's why with all the mitzvahs, you need Hashem at the end of the day to come and define for you the exact parameters of the mitzvah. All the different conditions of the mitzvah, all the different guidelines and parameters of doing the mitzvah right, how you bring it all together, you need a full, comprehensive understanding. And this can only be provided by Hashem. Now, so therefore, just as we understand that there's a whole intricate Shulchan Aruch of physical laws of nature, we understand that it is also an equally intricate Shulchan Aruch of spiritual laws of nature. And these are things that we can't figure out by ourselves. We have to have Hashem spell it out for us, because what we're doing is pushing buttons in a realm that we don't see. So it's like, let's say, you're told that, you know, you play with a computer. You can be affecting things around the world, right? Let's say someone tells you that there's a certain password which shuts off the nuclear system, and if it's activated, it's very dangerous to the world. It's your responsibility to make sure that gets done every day. Okay? And one day you decide, you're told the password. And you decide, look, there isn't much of a difference between a period and a comma. The difference is the tiny little thing coming out at the end. How much of a difference does it make if I push the other button instead? You're going to mess everything up. Because at the end of the day, these are not issues that you can determine based on logic. You have to be told by someone who knows, this is the password, that's not the password. So when a person is going to come, when it comes to mitzvahs, and start deciding, I don't see why that small detail is so important. That means that you're taking the mitzvah and limiting it to the significance it has in this world. But you don't understand that the significance of that mitzvah goes way beyond what's in this world. And it goes up into the highest of worlds, and there you have no idea what you're talking about. So how can you ever undermine the detail of a mitzvah? That's why it says, for example, Chazal say, "Kol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatrin yivosru ma'ayi." Anybody who says that Hashem overlooks things will have his innards overlooked. Meaning, a person says, okay, you know, Hashem says, you gotta do this and this. I don't know, the small details are not for me. I don't think, hard for me to imagine that Hashem should really care about that. Hashem cares about the big picture. Shabbos is such a beautiful concept. Why go mess it up with all the nitty gritty of the fine halachas of Boirer? Right? Why go mess it up? I don't think these are rabbinic contrivances. Hashem cares about the concept, about the beauty of what Shabbos is. Okay? So, say, if you say that, Hashem just cares about the concept. So, we'll say the same thing about your innards. If your innards won't work with all the fine details, your body will run in a general way. Right? But without all the fine nitty gritty, without the dikduke halacha and all the small intricacies, where are you going to be? Person who says, I'll keep halacha b'di'evit. And how bad could it be already? You say, what happens if your body will run b'di'evit? All the big systems will run in a general way. Just the fine details of those systems will be a little off. Such a person will be alive, but he'll be in the hospital. He'll need the help of a lot of machines. So he say, you understand that your body is a very intricate system that requires an awful lot of dikduk halacha? So you have to understand also that the mitzvahs are an equally intricate system. Why should the mitzvahs that you were created for be more approximate than the body, which is only a means to those mitzvahs? You have to draw on all the dikdukim and dikduke halachas of how your body runs in order to understand the intricacy of what your body is meant to accomplish. So don't say, yeah, I have a body which I really hope Hashem will run according to all the fine details of halacha, but with my body, I'll achieve my function in a much more broad and general way. So therefore, mishigia yadova azeh, a person who received the manual from Hashem of exactly how the world is meant to run, how you do achieve those godly effects, and you kept them precisely according to all their parameters and fine details, b'leib shalem, wholeheartedly, hu hama'amin, that is the loyal servant of Hashem. But a person is going to try to affect these godly things or spiritual things b'mechka usvaris v'hekeshes, through his own experimentation or through his own reasoning, by studying books of astrology, he starts understanding the different properties of different constellations, and therefore he starts understanding how you can get there, how you can tap into their effect and activate their effects, and he feels that he's benefiting mankind. He also studies, this was a whole science, studies how to cause certain spiritual effects. He also knows that yes, if you create a statue in a certain way, you know what the statue is? The satellite. A satellite on people's roofs. What's that for? It's meant also to have a certain spiritual effect. If you put a certain type of satellite on your roof, that can attract certain waves that are going through the air, right? Of television, radio, whatever it is. You bring it down into your house. It's mamish an example of a person who wants to bring spiritual sewage into his house. Just he thinks it's a good thing. But really, that's what it is. You see, you know how to set things up right? People know how to do this too. You take a little idol, a little statue, set it up right with the right form. Yes, that attracts the effect of a certain constellation and brings about this, that, or whatever it is. It's mamish exactly the same thing. Yes, you learn how to cause different effects, but it's not guided by Hashem. Once it's not guided by Hashem, you're playing with fire. Based on experimentations, he starts figuring out when it's auspicious to bring certain sacrifices and what burning certain incenses can achieve. That's what Avodah Zarah was based on. That's what sorcery was based on. It was based on understandings of the workings of the metaphysical world and how to manipulate it. You knew how to do the right thing at the right time, you could do these things. It's like we said, yes, today, the whole spiritual sewage in cyberspace, that you can set up a little idol in your home and bring it all into your home. That's what they were doing in earlier times too. And just like you think that sewage that's coming into your home is a good thing, because it's entertaining, they also thought that the things that they were channeling into their homes through this little statue was a good thing. And yes, they were adept at manipulating the spiritual forces of nature. But this is the difference between a person who's loyal to Hashem and a person who's not. They're both engaged in the same types of activities, just on two sides of the fence.